So, okay, next movie. And our next movie is a superhero saga named Blade, based on the popular comic book about a character who is half vampire and half something else. He's not sure just what. Maybe not human. And he's dedicated his life to fighting vampires who are secretly buying up and taking over the great American cities. Blade joins a recent group of comic book superheroes who have been brought to the big screen. Batman and Superman, of course, come to mind, and also the Crow, the Phantom, the Mask, Spawn, the Men in Black. Who have I left out?
I'm waiting for Archie and Jughead.
Oh, Archie, I'd like to see Veronica.
Good. Particularly, yeah, yes, okay, and
on
Betty.
The big screen.
Yeah, I like Veronica better.
Okay.
Always brunettes, never blondes.
Very good.
Just can't stare at that bright day mode screen.
That's right. Your phone's on night mode too?
Yep.
This has been a long time coming.
Brand new.
Not having to look at that bright white light in your face.
Yeah.
People are still going to keep it on day mode when they're in movie theaters though.
Oh, I didn't even
think of
that.
You know they're going to do that.
Yeah.
They'll change it specifically from night mode to day mode when they go in the movie theater.
The good news, it's hard to see this fucking phone in the theater.
Exactly.
Turn it on day mode. Jesus. Why so dark?
No, yeah. I'm in a movie. I can't talk right now. I'm in a movie.
The gentleman at the phone store, when he was doing the initial, like, turn your phone on for you and shit, he's like,
right.
You want it on, like, day mode or night mode? And I'm one of those people who couldn't give any less fucks.
Oh, no, I'd be like, fucking look at me, man. What do you think? I'm a nightman.
I was like, I don't know, man. He's like, everybody's
looking
doing
at a nightman.
Everybody's been doing night mode. And I was like,
everybody's doing
cool,
it, man.
Cool, man. Put me on the night mode.
That's fucking cool. You'll never go back, trust me.
Okay. I'm ready to rock.
And who are you supposed to be?
Bob Dylan, man.
Jesus Christ, we're all
check
all
this
over
out.
The place.
Is this a page from a coloring book?
No, dude, that's Nightman. Those are lyrics. Whatever. Let's
Nightman,
just rock.
Baby.
God, Kay, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeehaw!
All right.
Where's my curtain?
Charlie, don't worry about the curtain. You're not going to need
it. Blocking my face.
Ernie, you don't need it.
Go have a beer, Ernie. Okay.
All right. Ready? 5, 6, 7, 8.
Nightman, sneaky and mean. Spider inside my dreams, I think I love you. You make me wanna cry, you make me wanna die. I love you, 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 Nightman. Every night you come into my room and pin me down. You put your strong arms and pin me down. And I try to fight you, you come inside me.
Whoa, 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 whoa,
Charlie,
hold on a second. I mean, the first half of that song was kind of cool, but what's with the second half?
It's about the Nightman, like, you know, like filling me up and I become him. I become the spirit of the Nightman.
But it sounds like a song where a man breaks into your house and rapes you.
What, dude? Where are you getting that from?
All right,
no. It's just two men sharing the night. It might seem wrong, but it's just right. It's just two men sharing each other. It's just two men like loving brothers. One on top and one on bottom. One inside and one is out. One is screaming, he's so happy. The other screaming a passionate shout, it's the Nightman. The feeling's so wrong and right, man. The feeling's so wrong and right, man. I can't fight you, man, when you come inside me and pin me down with your strong hands. And I become the night, the passionate, passionate Nightman.
Well, that was a quick little introduction here. You're tuned into the Baby Oil and the Blow.
You!
It's a action extravaganza,
right.
Former wrestling podcast,
uh-huh.
Palooza, full of shenanigans and hijinks.
74 episodes of a pro wrestling podcast, and now 25 or so episodes of action movie
like
podcast.
That.
It's episode 100.
That's right. You're the historian. You're supposed to keep track. We're your hosts.
My historian?
Biggie Time, Matt O, with me, as always. Well, we're go history.
Oh, we don't know much about history. You're digging deep here. Off the cuff historical reference.
He's the president Lincoln to my president Washington.
Aaron Burr.
He is Aaron Burr.
Peanut butter commercial.
Aaron Burr. Yeah. Aaron Burr.
This is the only historical thing I know because of the peanut butter commercial.
He's the Sparrow Agnew to whatever the president was that he was vice president
right?
for. He is Nate Adams.
Dirty Dick Nate Adams.
Dirty Dick Nate
Ahoy,
Adams.
Ahoy, everybody. You know, normally we come into this thing, we get the mics going, and we don't really know what we're going to say. We're just, we go with the flow and we get into it here, but I'm coming in hot this week. I've got a bone to pick, something I needed to address up front.
Uh-oh.
And that is the month of October.
Oh, snap.
And if the internet's going to ruin it for me or not, I'm starting to worry about it.
Uh-oh.
I'm one of these people that loves October. You know this.
Yes, you do.
I'm one of these people celebrates
you also
all
celebrate,
the Halloween stuff.
You also celebrate Rocktober.
As long as I can. That's right.
So it's a doubly fun month.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Rocktober.
I got a problem out there, though. This has been growing out there. This is a thing, the trend that's been getting bigger. A lot more people just, I'm going to celebrate 31 days of Halloween. It's Halloween all month.
Yeah.
I've had a real come to Jesus moment in the last week or so.
Oh, no.
Last week we were talking about how we're doing this Action Spooktacular.
Yeah.
All month long, we're doing action horror movies on Baby Blow and Blow. We're loving it. But like three or four times over the course of the last week, I'm suddenly hearing people refer to October as the spooky season. We're in the spooky season. I'm so happy it's the spooky season.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. I'm not one of these people who like, ooh, I liked it first. You can't like it. Thing. I've been very happy to see more and more people getting on board with horror movies and Halloween parties and everything over the last 10 years.
I also love horror parties.
If people keep calling it the spooky season, Matt, I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep doing it. I
broke
yesterday when I saw this person being like, this is the first year me and my fiance are going to be celebrating the spooky season together.
Oh,
and I love
God.
Watching horror movies, but she has panic attacks during them. Does anybody have any, like, and I was just like, preemptively right now, I'm taking the word spooky out of my mouth. I'm not using it anymore.
Yeah, that's fine.
We're not doing it.
Yeah.
Taking it off. All this ad copy for Baby Oil and Blow. Yeah. I'm changing the name of this month. It's now Blood, Bullets, and Baphomets. An action massacre.
From now on, when anytime somebody says spooky season, I'm going to say, who are you calling spooky, Peckerwood?
That's right. It's fucking, use that white guilt to shame people out of.
They're going to be like, I didn't even know I offended anybody.
That's right.
But they
will.
The Dave Yarshice.
Blood, Bullets, and Baphomets, an action movie massacre. That's what we're doing all month long. It's no longer the Action Spooktacular.
Wow.
Fucking get it out of here. Get it out of your lexicon.
Okay. Oh, I can't. I will never be able to learn those words
you've
just
ruined
said.
The word spooky for me, internet.
So, and also keep an eye out or don't go near your mailbox for the next couple days.
Did you put a pipe bomb in there?
No, Marie and I sent you a card just being like, this is our first spooky season celebrating as husband and wife.
Oh, that's
so you're not going to want to see
that. Do like a photo shoot with your dogs dressed up as little ghoulies?
No, it's we're both wearing the white sheets like in Beetlejuice.
Oh, that's fun at least.
Yeah. But I have a huge boner in mine. So I'm more like the priest from Little Mermaid.
Burn my mailbox.
Just burn your whole mailbox down. Well, this concludes
on it now.
This concludes the live segment of the show. It's 100th episode, so we're just doing a clip show here of everything that I've said that was really, really offensive that you had to censor.
I'm gonna have to go pour through that.
And this
should've
is
told
it.
Me that's
big
gonna
reveal
take a,
show.
Like a whole week of editing. I don't know.
What were you doing when I was on the honeymoon, man?
A little bit of heads up.
Oh God.
Let's get a honeymoon update.
I told Tom Rock to tell you at the wedding.
You were off at that Hollywood Horror Nights.
Oh yeah.
The Universal. What's your review? What's the update there?
Oh, buddy. If you like horror movies and you like getting blind drunk.
Oh yeah, both those things.
Universal Studios will accommodate that.
I haven't been there since I was a child. What sort of booze setup we got going there?
Oh, pal, they got collectible glasses.
Ooh.
Like you can get real glasses.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll let you walk around the park with those. But you
that
can also get
like
these
dangerous
plastic light up glasses while you're there.
Oh, it's like Mardi Gras.
I got a real nice Ghostbusters one because they got a Ghostbusters house.
Oh, they give you like real gross syrupy theme drinks
you
to
can.
Like put in there and stuff.
You can.
God,
I got a Saturn at the very first one. So you get one of these drinks. $13.99 to start it out, right?
That's a steal. How could you deny that?
And then every refill you get, beer or mixed drink,
$9.99. Not bad.
It's like the medieval times Steins.
Oh, yeah.
It's
if you're at medieval times, spring for the Stein. Don't be drinking one pint at a time. It's medieval times.
Like, seriously, a beer at Wrigley is, I want to say, $13 these days.
That makes sense to me.
So these prices blew my mind.
Beer at like some fucking hipster bars is like $13 these days. Prices are out of control. Cost of living's through the roof. Wages are stagnant. Right. Let's get into our economic report. We're not going to do that.
You have Dave here?
No, I didn't do any
Davey
homework.
R. Scheister for a live financial report?
Call him in.
We stayed at a little resort just for the one night before we moved on to Clearwater.
And talking it was, like a sandals?
No.
Something clothing optional? What is that one called?
Duh. It was Cabana Bay. It was like a 1950s theme, which was great because they had a nice classic cocktail bar.
Oh, that's lovely.
Where we met our friend Brian.
Was it haunted by like the ghost of like a local rocker? Because that would have been cool.
Ooh, that would have been
like
cool.
Like a Buddy Holly type or something?
No, we walked to the bar and we're like, holy shit, it's a tall version of Nate.
Ooh.
Because this guy was ripped, had the beard and the hair,
mm-hmm.
and then like we're like, it's just tall Nate.
Living my dream life.
We sat down, and he's like, how are you guys doing? And it was like,
he gets to be gay too? He's living my fucking dream life.
He's just the better Nate all around.
He's tall and he doesn't have to deal with women? Yeah. Fuck this guy.
He's living your dream life, man. But yeah, he made us up some great drinks, dropped the old like, oh, celebrating our honeymoon, and then he's like, well, here comes more booze free of charge.
Tell you what. I got like 5 free drinks yesterday just walking around to different bars in Wrigleyville. 3 of them at one bar. There was a gay bartender that didn't charge me for any of my drinks.
Oh.
And I was like, hey, bro, you didn't put any of the drinks on here. And he's like, I know. And I was
like,
fucking A.
Yeah. See, I'm not against, you know, anyone finding me attractive.
Yeah, you just
so I support
chat up
you
those
on
bartenders.
That.
Start asking them about what they're doing, what they're
exactly.
into.
Exactly.
Free drinks start coming your way.
And that's what we did. Never order off the fucking menu. You talk to the bartender, mm-hmm. you'd be like, what do you think, man? Like, what's your signature drink? What do I need to be These drinking here?
Life hacks right here. Life hacks to live by.
You do that, and they're going to want to talk booze with you. And then they're like, try this.
Mm-hmm.
Try this. That's how I got the free shot of Horse Soldier Bourbon.
Ooh.
Which was delightful.
For some reason, I thought you were going to go horse cum. Free shot. He was making this shot called horse cum.
Yeah, he just had a jar.
I'm not quite sure what was in there.
There was no lid.
It was delicious.
It was great. So yeah, we had a good bass buzz going before we even got to a Universal.
So what was the haunted attraction of the event? What was the best one?
From what I can remember.
Uh-huh. Very foggy, both because there was fog machines and because you were blind drunk.
Yes, Jordan Peele's Us.
That's right.
Most legitimate.
Ooh, I saw that movie. Didn't know how well that would translate
extremely
to a
well.
Feature.
They just
I
you
guess you
start
can get
out,
to go to that like underground light world or whatever.
They take you through the entire movie, so you just start out walking through that house of mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
A creepy little girl shoots out and scares the piss out of you.
Oh God!
And then before you know it. Timmy Heidecker's in your face with his creepy daughters.
They really got Tim Heidecker?
No.
That's a pretty big get for a haunted house.
When I kept drunkenly yelling, Timmy Heidecker!
Yeah, that's right.
Right in his face. He was really no-selling me.
No.
So that one was really good. And then Killer Clowns from Outer Space was just a lot of fun.
See, that one's got to be good. Like, there's no way to make a Killer Clowns haunted house and have it not be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, but
fuck you if you try to make a Killer Clowns haunted house and you don't make it awesome.
Definitely recommend it to anybody if you can go next year.
Get down there.
You can still
out to
go.
LA, down to Orlando.
No, Orlando.
Orlando is
the
one.
LA one is a shell of what Orlando
is. Oh, wow.
Is.
I know a lot of people that go to that and love it. They need to check out the Orlando one.
Orlando's the jam, and it's open till November 3rd. So there you have it. There's my report.
All right, road trip for me. Let's get into the rundown of this movie we're watching for our 100th. Fucking episode. We're throwing a bloodbath. The rundown this week is brought to us by Pumpkin Masters Carving Kits.
Oh.
Those little,
little orange guys?
Yeah, little bubble fucking packaged
carving
kits with like the tiny saw blades with the janky plastic handles that break off like 20 seconds into carving the pumpkin.
Yeah, they work really well.
Yeah, in my opinion, there's one of two ways you can carve a pumpkin. It's by buying one of those and using it. Or just like getting a comically large butcher's knife like they do in movies that is completely ill-suited to carving a pumpkin. One of the two, pick it.
It's like old Dirty Dick Adams says, mm-hmm. there's more than one way to carve a pumpkin.
I do say that. There's two. Blade from 1998 is the movie we're going to be covering.
I like to call it Blade.
Blade.
Like Sade.
I was just going to say, did she do the soundtrack?
Because
that would have been cool.
Smooth
runtime of Blade is 120 minutes. That's 2 hours out there for you people on the metric system.
Even.
Budget, $45 million. gross $131.2 million. This is a huge fucking
play it back for
hit.
Me. I zoned out there. It's
$45 million cost. $131.2 it brought in.
That was a modest 45 for 98.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's not too bad.
It's a decent little investment they made. This kind of blew up the whole superhero thing. This is the first superhero movie I can think of that wasn't a huge fucking failure.
Yeah, that's fair.
Director, Stephen Norrington.
What'd he do?
Went on to do that terrible League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I thought you were going to say Leave It to Beaver movie.
Leave It to Beaver.
That would have been great, huh?
Remake that they were pushing on WCW in the 90s.
Well, they had a movie, too.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
No, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen was terrible.
That wasn't good.
Mostly this guy's like an effects guy and a crew guy. Yeah. He didn't direct much.
Yeah.
But somebody who did work a lot is the writer, David S. Goyer. He fucking popped off after he made Blade movie, and then they tried to get him to write a script for every fucking superhero that ever existed after
this.
And
he failed eventually.
He failed a lot, but, you know, I think probably whatever clout he got from writing The Dark Knight is just going to let him keep getting fucking jobs for the rest of his life.
Yeah, he's a lot why everybody hates that, was the Suicide Squad?
Yeah, yeah.
His stinks
Batman
all over
v
that.
Superman stinks all over. There's another thing the internet's ruined for me. Batman.
Yeah?
I still love Batman.
True.
60s TV show.
Oh.
The 80s, like, gritty comics.
Yeah, hell yeah.
That animated series from the 90s, it was perfect.
Oh, you know what? Quit trying to make it like
perfect.
The Frank Miller comics.
Mm-hmm.
And just try to make me a live-action movie adaptation
I
of the animated
agree.
Series.
Nerds.
There's something we can all watch.
These internet virgins, these angry internet virgins, they've just attached themselves to Batman. They've driven it into the ground.
You watch that
they've
Origins?
They've made it embarrassing to like.
Oh, that origin story episode of Mr. Freeze.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
You don't
all
cry
about
during
his
that?
Sad
Come
wife.
On. Oh, jeez.
Saw a Joker movie yesterday.
Oh, no spoilers.
It's pretty good, man. I'm telling you, people aren't liking it. People are underselling it.
I'm dying
because it's
it.
Not cool to like Batman anymore because the internet's ruined it.
Yeah.
Like, Todd Phillips takes like 70s Scorsese's movies and puts a more pop art slant on it. If Tarantino did that, people would be sucking his fucking dick.
Sure.
Dude who makes The Hangover does it, everybody's like, oh, it's fucking lame. It's a ripoff. I can't watch it. Fucking Joker. If this was an original character and they did this crazy movie, people would be losing their mind.
Yeah.
It's a Batman character. People are just like, all those fucking losers on the internet like Batman stuff. I can't say I like it too. Solid movie, unfortunately.
A couple assholes shoot up some schools and you ruin everything for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Quit ruining stuff.
Stars of Blade. Wesley Snipes is playing Blade, the Daywalker, a half-human, half-vampire hybrid who has a sword and a bunch of guns and kills vampires. Wesley Snipes is famously the guy in the 90s who declared that white men can't jump and then proved that black men can by making Drop Zone. So, suck on that, white guys.
That's a nice one, too.
Yeah,
good
proved
for you.
You wrong. Kris Kristofferson's in this movie playing Whistler, a grizzled old man who makes all of Blade's vampire-killing tech. He's fucking Convoy. It's fucking Convoy.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
He's the man.
Inbushi Wright, maybe, if I'm pronouncing... I'm from America, honey.
I don't know.
I don't know how to speak foreign. She's playing Karen. Karen's a blood doctor who gets shoehorned into this movie.
Karen!
Every movie needs to have a female character.
Karen!
She's playing Dr. Karen.
Dr. Karen!
Stephen Dorff, a.k.a. Deacon Frost, is playing Deacon Frost. Mm. This is... the movie where he finally got to play himself in a movie.
This might be the only movie I've seen of his outside of The Gate. So I just know him as that kid from
that,
The Gate.
Sofia Coppola joint he was in?
No, I never got
that one's right in
but
your
I kept,
wheelhouse.
I kept thinking about it the entire time
it's
I was watching this
movie. Just being sad and famous.
Yeah.
You'd really like it. Yeah, you know, kid from The Gate. He's playing our main bad vampire guy. He wants to take out all the old pure blood vampires and resurrect the blood god. Donal Logue is playing Quinn, one of Deacon Frost's least effective and most obnoxious goons. His hired goon. Donal Logue's fucking Jimmy the Cab Driver from 90s MTV, Matt. He's
Hell
kind of a legend
yeah.
around here in our household.
You have a lot of friends. Like, you know, I want Snoop to come over and Dr. Dre, and I'd say, hey, Dre, bring the Tanqueray. You know what I mean? And, they're going... Hey, Jimmy, what up? And I said, you know, I got my mind on my money and my money on my mind. You know, I'm just smoking the endo and drinking gin juice all day and all night long, which is what I like to do. Not before I drive a cab, though, huh? Oh, lad. You wouldn't want to get into a cab in that situation. And they're like, hey, Jimmy, where are you going? I go, I got to go talk to a man about a house. You know, because I've been drinking beers. I gotta go use the little boys' room at that point. You know what I mean? You know, I like the MTV. You know, it's fun.
You know, I think they should make smoking an Olympic sport.
Uh-huh.
Oh, he was the best.
He's so good.
He's just the best.
So good in everything. Wrap it all up here. Udo Kier is playing Dragonetti, one of those old pureblood vampires that I mentioned. Udo Kier, something of a horror movie legend back in the 70s. Dr. Frank in Suspiria. He was Dracula in Blood for Dracula. You know him. You know his face.
Oh, that is him from Suspiria, huh?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. That was like one of his first English-speaking films, or he didn't really speak English. I forget what it was.
Yeah, I don't know. He was making like some British stuff for a while, maybe for some like Italian directors.
There's some... bring up IMDb on your own, people, and check whatever the fuck the trivia says.
We're Baby Oil and Blow.
Yeah. Not that Tom York bullshit Suspiria. It's 5 hours long.
Tom York made that one?
Oh, Tom York's attached to something and it's long and boring? Go figure.
I don't know. It might be pretty good, but I haven't been able to sit through that runtime. I've never been able to block that out.
Yeah.
I say that as somebody who's planning on watching all of the first three Hellraiser movies tonight. No time for you, Suspiria.
Oh, man. I like that we're a little early in the day here. Uh-huh. Usually we're doing late night, little look
behind the curtain. Zip my pants up.
So apparently you were so quick to be like, yeah, we could do that shit early, because then it just popped in your head. I could just plow through all the first three Hellraisers.
Well, I was just thinking, probably I ain't got much to do, so I'll just throw this podcast together tonight. And I was like, I need something to put on in the background while I'm doing that, because I'm not going to go to the bar, because I've been going to the bar like 2 weeks straight with no breaks. And I'm like, stay out of there, man.
Okay.
So I'm going to throw on those Hellraisers. I'm going to get this podcast together.
I support you, friend.
Tagline of this movie is the lamest fucking tagline we've gotten for a movie yet. The power of an immortal, the soul of a human, the heart of a hero.
That's awful.
Nothing
to
do with this fucking
movie
is
whatsoever.
Like, the tone of it is completely off. So lame.
But it should be like, when the bad guys bite, he bites back.
Yeah, that's right. That's
or some shit. That's
instantly better.
Yeah.
Plot of this movie. When Blade's mother was bitten by a vampire during pregnancy, she did not know that she gave her son a special gift while dying. All the good vampire attributes.
HIV.
In combination with the best human skills. Pussy eating. Blade and his mentor battle an evil vampire rebel who plans to take over the outdated vampire council, capture Blade, and resurrect a voracious blood god. That's Blade.
A vampire rebel?
Yeah, that's what they're calling Deacon Frost in the synopsis. He's a fucking rebel. There's that one scene where Udo Kier's trying to talk to him, and he's got his headphones on like a teenager, listening to techno real loud.
I was going to say more so...
How could you be more of a rebel?
Whiny-ass bitch
he's
of
a fucking
vampire.
Cool teenage vampire.
That's
I love
cool.
him. Bullet points is where we break down the movie. We dig into our notes, and we talk about Blade. Let's get this fucking party started. Let's get this bloodbath going.
The movie starts.
That's right.
And I looked at the first scene, and I decided they shouldn't have called it Blade. They should have just called it A Blade Is Born.
that's
got a little more gravitas to it, you know?
Blade Origins, A Blade Is Born.
Yeah. You ever want to reboot the frame? Oh, they are.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
they got,
that's
true. What's his face?
I didn't really know him. It was somebody everybody was creaming over, and I was like,
"He's the guy.
Who's that guy?
He was in the Luke Cage. He was the bad guy, Cottonmouth."
I watched like half that.
The newest season of True Detective.
I haven't seen any of that.
He was. He won an Oscar for that movie where he's.
Oh yeah,
the dad's.
It was Moonlight. He was the guy from Moonlight.
Yeah.
I famously hate that fucking movie, and everyone else on the world loves it, so...
Yeah. But he's a fine
Not
actor.
Sold on him yet.
He's all right.
We'll see how he does his Blade. Not as good as Snipes, I'm going to tell you that right now. You can't top Snipes.
You and I both said, and I had never seen a Snipes... Or I'd seen many a Snipes movie.
Black Don't Crack. Just bring back Wesley.
Yeah, I'd never seen Blade, and it's like... Even without seeing Blades, I already know everybody likes him as Blade.
Uh-huh.
So just keep him as Blade.
Mm-hmm.
It's dumb.
That's right.
A little continuity, a little bridge work. Some people like that every once in a while.
I'm one of those people, man. That's why I'm stoked for that new Bill and Ted movie.
Well, hell yeah.
I don't want some fucking little Disney Channel kids playing new Bill and Ted. Hell no. Bring me the old guys.
You know the whole thing's about them introducing their daughters to be like the new Bill and Ted?
Oh, God. Is it like Kevin Smith and Johnny Depp's daughters again playing the new Bill and Ted?
Oh, well played, sir. Well played, sir.
The worst thing ever made.
So, yeah, that was my first point.
So it starts off, we see Blade's mom getting killed while pregnant. Her bloody fucking ID hits the ground in slow-mo.
Her placenta
falls. Kind
of like
Batman's mom's bloody pearls hitting that alley floor.
Oh, my.
This is Blade's origin story. We're getting right here.
Again.
But then after this, we're in the city.
Yeah.
We get some first impressions, like a pulsing score, sped up frame rate. We're shooting around the city. Everything's all slick and late 90s. You're like dropped right into the late 90s
it
here.
It looked like that movie Go.
That's right. It does a lot. Yeah. Except Tracy Lords shows up instead of whoever is in that movie Go.
I don't
feel
know.
Like this
all
is
all of them.
An upgrade, man. Tracy Lords, yeah. First real actor we see.
Is she
nothing
the,
better than that.
Was she the redhead?
Yeah, she's the chick like luring the guy into the meat warehouse where there's a secret door, and then she's got this yuppie with like a corduroy newsboy hat on.
Yeah, he's like, got like the corduroy Kango hat on.
Fucking yuppie loser. I can't wait to see him get destroyed by vampires.
Yeah.
And the first real scene we get is the fucking bloodbath, which is one of the coolest openings of a movie fucking ever. Action movie, comic book movie, you name it. This scene fucking sets the tone, dude.
Gotta say, having never seen this movie before, if I knew absolutely nothing about it, like when it was made,
sure,
like you told,
I'd be like 1998
immediately. it couldn't look more 1998, and I don't mean that in a flattering way.
Oh no. You don't mean it in a flattering way?
Yeah.
Well, this is coming as a shock to me.
But yeah, it was a bloodbath, man.
We're at a vampire rave. We quickly learn that all the vampires in the Blade universe just look like real Euro trash pieces of shit.
True.
It's fucking cool. Tracy Lords lures this dork in.
And that, what was that? That, the fucking vampire versus werewolf movie where that chick's
fucking Kate the underworld movies.
Yeah.
Sat through a whole one of any of those.
From what I've seen of the previews, it looks like they just ripped off
they turned
Blade,
the
huh?
first scene of Blade into an entire film franchise from what I can tell.
I think there's real Euro trash.
This guy thinks he's about to have a Euro trash sex party, but really he's about to have a Euro trash vampire party. Fucking the DJ calls for the bloodbath. The sprinklers above everybody start going. Blood's coming out of them. Everybody's dancing. There's crazy techno going. They all vamp out. They're all fucking like biting all the dumb humans that are in there. It's a real literal bloodbath.
It was.
And it's shot all crazy. The camera's swooping around and editing crazy, but it's like not so annoying that like I'm getting whiplash or the camera's shaking up and down. Like very slick and stylish this whole movie, but at no point am I ever just like, oh, fuck this camera. Like, sit it still. I'm annoyed with this. I think this is one of the first movies that like was shooting in this style and like started that whole annoying thing that got out of control.
But I actually did it
But here I kind of like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Blade was kind of groundbreaking in a lot of ways that it doesn't get credit for.
I was really tired when I watched this.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole moving camera around shit
was
really hard for me. Like, I was like, oh God, it's just making me want to close my eyes and sleep. But I pulled through.
Another cool thing about this scene is just all the blood and all the gloop glop that's going on. This did not, horror movies did not look like this in 1990s. Like, things were very sterile going on.
Yeah, that's
like,
fair.
Things were lame. You got some teenage slashers after Scream popped. That's about it. Those weren't all that bloody, though. This is a throwback to something we ain't seen since, like, the 80s. All this blood everywhere.
Very early 90s.
It's fucking, it looked different from everything else you were seeing in 98. And me and my boys, when we were watching this shit, were getting pretty fucking pumped.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. And so Blade comes in.
That's right.
And he's like, y'all want more blood?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll show you some more blood.
He's pissed off at these vampires are having a bloodbath because Blade hates vampires. That's one thing you need to know about him.
Yeah. So he's like, I gotta kill them all.
And then just fucking Hong Kong action scene type shit. Just guns, karates, fucking swords, like knives and stabbing weapons.
Yep.
Got like throwing blades and stuff.
Yep.
Like, he just takes out, like, I don't know, what, 40 vampires?
I was going to ballpark 50, so yeah, somewhere in there.
One question that I'm asking myself at the end of this fucking, admittedly fucking awesome action scene where Blade's killing all these vampires is like, I thought you had to, like, kill vampires with a wooden stake or behead them to kill them.
Well, yeah.
Blade's just making vampires explode all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I think we get an explanation later for why this is happening.
Yeah.
Why, like, his guns kill them.
They're like, well,
why
the
his,
bullets
his
got
knives kill
silver
them.
With garlic.
Yeah, and we do. We get the explanation.
And that's got silver. But then, like, some.
Still not buying it, though.
Sometimes, like, well, there's an important scene here in this little shakedown, and that's. Or no, that's not till later with Donald Wayne.
Oh yeah, this scene ends with
Or does he cut his hand?
He kills all of Donald Logue's buddies,
that's
and
right.
Then he staples him to the wall, and then he lights him on fire. And when all the police show up to this rave, fucking corduroy hat guy doesn't get killed, which kind of pisses me off.
Yeah.
They just find that guy pissing himself and covered in blood, and Donald Logue just on fire, screaming, which is cool.
Which is pretty cool. And I was like, oh, that's bogus. They're killing Donald Logue already. Like, I love this.
Psych.
Guy.
Turns out we got a running gag where he just...
Yeah.
He's basically the tank top of Die Hard of Blade, where he just takes more and more punishment as the movie goes on. It's just like a running gag, which I really enjoy.
Yeah, so he gets wheeled off to the old morgue there. And
hospital scene is our second big scene here.
Dr. Karen shows up. And she's like,
yeah, Dr. Karen, does she have, like, this her boyfriend, maybe, in this scene?
Or something?
I don't know. She's got a contentious relationship with this other guy who's like, hey, Dr. Karen, I got this charred body. Come check it out.
Remember when we used to fuck? And she's like, I told you, I'm not going to talk about that.
Jerry,
and
I told you it's over.
And then they get into the morgue with the body. He's like, no, seriously, let's just hang out. And so they go, and then she's like, all right, I will talk to you about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's too late.
Yeah.
Because Donald Logue's not dead.
I think this scene's done really well because we see no signs of him, his charred body not being dead until he just out of nowhere jerks out of like unconsciousness and starts screaming and just tears this fucking idiot's throat out. It's not as cool, but kind of was giving me vibes of like the chest burster scene for Alien where like you just don't know how sudden it's going to come and how like gory it's gonna get.
That's pretty.
I got a little bit of a jump scare from
it. A little bit of that.
It hit me with a little bit of a jump scare.
It was fun. It was fun. I liked it, and I liked that he immediately killed that guy. He seemed like a real goober.
Yeah, I didn't want that guy to have any more speaking parts in this movie. He would have really slowed things down.
And then old girl was starting to get away, and he catches her, and I was like, oh man, is this movie gonna answer my dreams and kill them both?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then like,
Are we not going to have to deal with like there being some pseudo love interest female character throughout the movie?
He starts killing her, and then fucking Blade shows up again.
Which is like, I don't know. I guess Blade had him on fire, so didn't know if he was finished off, and he had to hightail it out of there because the cops were coming.
And he does do some tailing a little later in the film, so at least there's consistency.
Due diligence here, but
where it's like,
it kind of felt a little convenient in this
scene. He follows up, though. It's
just to get a Dr. Karen in the movie. That's why we get him to the hospital. I'm just like, Blade, you could have just cut his fucking head off and made sure he was dead in 2 seconds.
No.
You didn't really have to skate out of there so quick when the cops were coming.
The problem I had with this scene is he goes to rescue her.
That's right.
Well, he wasn't going to rescue her. He was just like there to kill a vampire.
Right, yeah.
He really doesn't give a fuck about other people.
Till he sees her beautiful dark skin and is like, I'm having flashbacks to my mother.
Which
I've
makes
got
me
a lot of real Oedipal mommy shit going on.
Well, my question
in my Blade
is,
head right now.
How the fuck does he remember the day his mother died, aka the day he was born?
Because he's got vampire genes. It's the mortal memory, man.
I think that's how that works,
man.
Yeah,
that's part of it. It's all part of the vampire thing.
I remember everything.
What's cool, though, is he fucking shows up to take out Donald Logue, and like a bunch of cops show up, too, and they start just fucking lighting up his chest, and Snipes does a real good delivery.
What the fuck are you out of your damn mind?
Yeah, that part is.
And this is when you start to realize, like, oh, Blade's kind of Snipes' excuse to start doing some Sam Jackson shit every once in a while. Like, he's playing this character, like, with the most swagger you've ever seen Snipes play a character.
Yeah.
He's playing him like the ultimate badass.
I guess I'll get into that there. One of my points is the way Blade talks. He's, like, part Batman
and
the
cool.
Part Batman and like, the Dark Knight trilogy.
Right. And every once in a while, he turns into Sam Jackson.
Well, I was going to say more Dolomite, but yeah. But, like, the whole movie's just like,
sure.
Hey, man, gotta kill a vampire.
Super serious.
What do you think?
Super serious.
What'd you
think? And suddenly I get all hood.
What do you think, motherfucker? It's weird.
I love it. Blade's cool.
And like,
bring back Snipes.
How come that sword, when it pierced anybody else's skin, they blew up? But
that's right.
When it cuts off Donald Logue's hand, he's all right.
Yeah, this is, if you want to get into the inconsistencies here of the vampire
of which
lore
there are,
and like how vampires are treated, like all Blade's weapons apparently are made out of silver, which we hear that vampires are allergic to. All his bullets are like hollow points with essence of garlic in it, we hear. That's why it blows him up. And like, I don't know, it's just too lame. Like, it leads itself to fast-paced, crazy action, but it completely robs the vampires of any sort of threat or menace when,
yeah,
like, they die not even as easy as a human, but easier than humans, because unless you're, like, a named main character, like Donald Logue, who gets his hand cut off and then it grows back, like,
he ain't withstanding
if you're
shit.
Even touched, like, in the shoulder with something, you're just instantly exploding and turning into, like, charred vampire remains. So just, like, when you can explode 12 vampires in, like, 10 minutes, you're just like, well, vampires aren't even scary. Like, these are the most fragile fucking things I've ever seen in a movie.
It's like playing guns when you're a little kid, and it's like, I got you. No, I got you.
You winged me.
I got you. No, I got you. You're dead.
Blade does get you. He gets everyone.
Yeah, he's that kid that you never wanted to play guns with.
That's a great way to describe the Blade character. That kid you never wanted to play guns with.
Yeah. Showing up to the park with way too many toys.
Yeah, but the cops, they like chase Blade up to the roof, and then he's cornered, and he's got this chick, Dr. Karen, who's been bit in the neck by Donald Logue. And normally he just kills people if they've been bit by a vampire, because, you know, you got to have that sort of hard-nosed thing when you're living in the vampire universe. But he's all like, oh, you look like my mom. I want to fuck my mom. So he just throws a bitch out a window, across the street and onto the roof next door, which I thought was pretty fun.
Yeah.
I expected him to, like, I don't know, carry her in his arms and jump across.
No, he just flings
her like a sack of shit, her dying body. That was pretty fun.
He was like, 50-50 anyways.
Yeah,
so
we'll see. Yeah. Maybe she'll live.
So yeah, then the next big part of the movie.
The next big part of the movie is fucking Credence, isn't it? Just when we hear some fucking Credence.
Hell yeah. He decides, you know what? I got a pretty cool, you know, like 69 Dodge Charger.
Oh, that's right. He's muscle carring it around.
I got a pretty cool lair.
Black car, tinted out windows.
I'm just going to take this girl I don't know that could end up being a vampire to my lair.
Yeah.
Dr. Where Karen. I live alone, question mark?
Nope. Turns out there's a dirty old white boy in there listening to Credence, just like fucking grinding things down. Sparks everywhere. He's got a real workshop going on.
Which Credence song was he even listening to?
I don't even remember. I just remember there being some Credence and me being like, this is the perfect way to introduce fucking Kris Kristofferson's Whistler character.
Yep.
Who's a hobbling, grizzled old man who hates vampires even worse than Blade does, I think.
Yeah.
I think Whistler's a cool fucking character. He's one of my favorite parts of this movie.
He's probably the best thing in the
Kristofferson's
movie.
Kristofferson's nailing it. This is maybe like his last great role here.
I had complaints with pretty much everybody in this movie except Kris Kristofferson.
He's doing that like garbled mouth old man thing that Jeff Bridges like only exclusively does now.
Right.
But like, he might even be doing it better than Jeff Bridges. I don't know.
Well, hey, like you said, Blade trendsetter, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
he fucking injects old Dr. Karen full of some essence of garlic, which seems to be the cure-all for everything in this movie. Like, anytime there's a problem, just throw some garlic at it. He's like, she might live out the night, she might not. She turns into a vampire. You gotta stake her. Yeah. Quit bringing fucking strange trim around to my workshop, Blade. Yeah. This fucking sissy ass shit used to fly when you were in your 20s, but it's pathetic now. You're a grown ass man.
Yeah.
You chasing tail around, compromising on our operation. Give me a break.
You made Major League 10 years ago. Yeah. Grow up.
I'm thinking about it, though, and I'm thinking, like, what's Blade's life look like? Like, when did he hook up with Whistler? He's been a vampire thing his whole life, so, like, Blade might just be some weird adult virgin, and, like, it might be, has he been doing anything other than killing vampires?
Well,
this might be just, like, a lot of built-up Daywalker cum in him just ready to explode, and it's like, Whistler, you gotta bring a whore in here every once in a while or something.
Yeah.
You know, take some of the edge off of Blade.
Yeah, he said he took old Blade in at the age of 13, yeah, so there's a good chance.
Ugh. What's going on?
A lot of weird repressed feelings.
Playboys hung around in there at least or something. I didn't see any.
Maybe, no.
Usually you get that in a cool workshop scene. There's at least like one wall with a bunch of Playboys hung up on it in the background.
Nice issue of Blacktail somewhere.
Instead of learning about Blade's cum, this is when we do learn about serum.
The serum.
I'm talking about the serum here.
You gotta have some serum, bro.
Yeah, so Blade does, he can walk during the day. That's his human half doing that. But he does have to drink blood, which is a problem. Because Blade's a good guy. He doesn't want to drink a bunch of blood. So we learn that there's this thing he gets called serum. It takes place of the blood. If he doesn't get the serum, he starts getting weak. He starts dying for a good, like, 3 years after this movie came out. Me and my friends were just yelling, serum! Like, all the time.
Rightfully so.
Whenever we could. Serum was huge. Huge in my high school.
It's a good takeaway from this film, man.
It's a pretty cool scene, though. We see a fucking, it's like some heroin junkie shit.
Yeah.
Whistler straps Blade into a chair. He's injecting him with serum. Blade's all screaming, serum! His body's all tensing up. This is when fucking old girl wakes up from her garlic-induced coma and is like, what the fuck is happening here?
Right.
What did I just step into?
Yeah.
This old white guy's injecting this ripped-as-shit black dude, and they're both yelling, serum.
Serum! Serum!
I've never seen any BDSM videos like this. This is something new.
She's like, I'm going to get out of here. And they're like, no, here's like a little crash course in what the movie's about.
Yeah, I like how it's just like, instead of being like, hey, come back here. Like, we're cool. We get a cool scene where like hobbling Kris Kristofferson, like Jason Voorhees is her through this whole warehouse for no reason.
Yeah, I'll kill
popping
you.
Popping up around corners like,
I swear to
boo,
Christ.
Bitch.
I swear to Christ, I will kill you if you try to leave.
Yeah, he makes this like every other scene. He's just making it clear again. Like, I do not care if this woman lives or dies.
No.
Like, frankly, I prefer that she dies.
She got vampire blood in him.
That's right.
Or in her. You don't respect
all
that.
All up in her.
So does he say anything of importance? I don't think so, really. It's just a crash
course. It's just like yeah, this is what Blade is.
Yeah, watch
learn
out.
The origin story of Blade as I'm telling it to you, this lady audience. Yeah,
watch out for vampires. Here's vampire mace, which is garlic.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah, he does give her some vampire mace. And after this is when we, I think, learn about Deacon Frost. You see him just talking to Udo Kier. This is the scene where he's got the headphones on. We start learning like,
there's a main
vampire bad guy. He's this slick young punk named Deacon Frost.
Yeah.
There's this council of old school pureblood vampires.
Yeah, he sits at the meeting.
There's this B plot where like pureblood vampires don't think vampires have been bit and used to be human or as good as them. Deacon Frost.
Unnecessary.
It's just like, I don't like that. Just, much too much story starts, you know, getting in there. Because there's not going to be a war between the vampire clans. Not in the first Blade movie.
Yeah, no.
If you're doing this, this is something you save for the Blade sequels.
Yeah, no, you
like,
set up there's a vampire.
Just Blade versus a big vampire.
Yeah.
That's all you need for this first movie. This multiple vampire faction shit doesn't add
it
up to much.
So,
yeah, not something I need.
We'll kind of
David S. Goyer, get all your fucking shit out of there.
Yeah. But you get enough.
After that, we
there.
Get Blade just tearing ass in his car during the day, like almost taking out pedestrians and like giving zero fucks.
And I want to get a little further here, and then you're gonna it's leading up to my point here.
Uh-huh.
So he's tearing ass, like taking old girl Dr. Karen,
drops Dr. Karen bag off at her apartment. And is like, bitch, here's your vampire mace. Get out.
Don't die. Also, don't trust anyone.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's a vampire.
And she's
they
like,
own the police.
She's like, all right, whatever.
Politicians
you say, pal,
are vampires.
You sound a little paranoid, dude.
The halal guy, a vampire.
So no.
Yes.
Really?
Trust me.
Mm.
Don't eat there after dark.
That's upsetting to hear. So she goes back to her apartment and she's like, what a crazy night. These motherfuckers are crazy.
Whew, blades and vampires, I never.
And then she walks into her apartment and then that cop.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That white cop walks into her apartment thinking that it was
nerdy,
his apartment.
Fresh-faced guy.
You know?
He's like the, what's the name from Dracula? The little fucking bug-eating wiener guy who's... Oh, Dracula's pal, yeah. And he's like, if I'm cool to Dracula, he'll make me a vampire someday. Yeah. We find out that's what this cop's got going on. He's just there to kill this woman, tie up loose ends.
So Blade just comes right back, and he's like, ah, fuck it.
I did that Blade thing again where I leave for no reason and I show back up. Because I don't know, I guess he was going to the woman to try and find Blade. Blade was using her to try and find him. They could have just cut out the middleman and just like, I'm going to stick with you until the fucking vampires come after you.
But... you get a little character build.
You get
here.
A bait and switch,
yeah,
though.
He uses her as bait to show, hey, I really don't give a fuck about people.
That's right.
No one's special. But then he
proves that he doesn't give a fuck by needlessly breaking every stitch of furniture in her apartment while beating up this cop guy.
I like that she at least was like, is this really necessary?
Yeah, like he punches this dude once, and he's just a normal guy. He's out because Blade's got vampire strength. But instead of just letting it be like that, Blade literally, like... backstage pro wrestling brawl, like puts him through every fucking table, like knocks every pitcher off the wall.
But this is what's leading my point here. She's like, oh, is this necessary? And he's like, that's a good point. I'm just going to take this cop out to his cop car.
That's right.
On the street in broad daylight and proceed to beat the ever loving holy hell out of him.
While wearing a leather duster with a sword sticking out of the back of it.
That's
like, everybody's
saying,
cool with this. Everybody's just like, oh, that's Blade. Like,
dude,
he does that.
Like a fucking sociopath.
He does shit like that.
And everybody's
just
cool with
this.
It.
Part of the neighborhood charm. We've got a Blade. It's
full
fun.
Body armor, pulling guns out. No big deal.
I wish my neighborhood had a Blade. It'd be cool as hell.
New York was pretty safe in 1998. Like, those days were behind it. Like, if you're trying to tell me this movie took place in 1988, I would have bought it.
Soon after this, we're like in another Asian nightclub for some, or I mean, vampire nightclub for some reason, but this is like an all Asian one. And we get like a real pervy young schoolgirl thing going on where there's all these young girls like high pitched singing and schoolgirl outfits.
I turned to my now wife and I said, maybe this is where Nate's obsession started.
All these creepy old Asian men are like just looking at them like, I'm into this.
Did you happen to catch the name of that group?
No, but
I'll have to check
just
in
ask
in the
Maria's
break.
Fucking cousins. I'm sure they're all super into this group, whatever it is.
Wow.
You know they like all that shit.
That's fair. They do.
But yeah, this is. I'm just thinking during this scene, I'm just like, this movie goes the extra length to add some sort of like weird little personality to every scene. It's like we've done a nightclub in a butcher shop. Right. Now we're not going to just do a normal nightclub. No. We're going to do a weird Asian schoolgirl nightclub. We're going to throw a little spin on everything, a little more personality to it.
So, yeah, he lets go of the cop like a cat toying with a mouse. And then the mouse of a cop leads him right to this club, goes in there, starts fucking the cop up again.
Yeah.
And he's like, look, I know you got a secret base here. Where's the fuck's the secret base?
Is the secret base just like a Deacon Frost's douchey River North like apartment? Is that where we go next? Where they're just like having a vampire pool party up on the roof or whatever? And it's like, ooh, vampires are rich as fuck.
Yeah, he gets into that glass fight with the...
Oh.
Yeah, I think that's here.
No,
right?
No, that's later. Oh. That glass fight's like an underground thing that leads out into the subway. This is where just the cop guy comes to Deacon Frost's apartment. He's like, Blade's coming after us. Blade knows.
Yeah.
And Donald Logue's there and he's hanging out. And like he's got a gross like vampire hand that's grown back off or like a zing. And that Deacon Frost like pseudo girlfriend or whatever who wears all white and has bleach blonde hair and looks like real like German and weird or whatever's hanging out. They fucking kill that guy. Deacon Frost does. He bites his neck and it's all bloody. And then him and his girlfriend do like a sleazy vampire makeout, licking the blood all over each other's faces.
Oh,
I love when vampire stuff gets real sexual.
This leads him, right, because he lets the cop go and the cop goes to Deacon Frost.
It's just all,
and then they go to the fridge tunnel, which takes him to Peach or whatever, the fat
guy. Yeah.
Fucking Watcher.
Whistler created like a UV spotlight as a new weapon for Blade. Blade and Dr. Karen find Deacon Frost's like a computer nerd who's a morbidly obese vampire, which I think is fucking cool as hell. And they just start frying him with his UV light and torturing him. Like, where's Deacon Frost or whatever? Like,
and he's
we're gonna find Deacon Frost. We're gonna fight Deacon Frost.
The fat vampire Skyping with Deacon Frost.
Yeah, and there's some early fucking video chatting going on in 1998. I'm surprised they had the fucking bandwidth for that shit.
And the fat vampire's like, Deacon, he's here. It's going to kill me. And Deacon Frost is like, oh, I'm Steven Dorff. I don't care about anything except my hair.
Down here where this guy lives, there's also the big ancient pages of the vampire Bible that are all hanging behind glass cases. And you're just like a big room full of glass cases. We're about to have a fight where Blade smashes every single one of these glass cases.
And
that's totally what happens, because Donald Logan and his fucking goons show up and try to fight him again.
Yeah.
And he just kills all these vampires again.
Right. And then is that where they almost got him?
That latest John Wick movie totally ripped off this scene.
That's true. That's
that scene where everything was behind glass cases.
Back to that.
All the glass cases get fucking broken. A lot of people buying from Blade.
So they're like, oh, we got you dead to rights, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, ha 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 ha. And they're like, why are you laughing? We got you. And he's like, because backup just showed up.
Something like that. And he's got an earpiece and fucking Whistler like drives a fucking tank car through the wall or whatever.
Can't really see it. Just kind
somehow
of
he's they're underground clearly, because after this they run down a tunnel and end up in the subway. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's really confusing.
I don't know where the fucking tank car was on the other side of this concrete wall and this like vault where they keep their vampire Bible, but whatever. Blade gets away again, but then we get a cool fight down in a subway tunnel.
Right.
Donald Logue's got like these real sleazy, like half cornrow, like loose braids that he's like wearing. Makes him look like a total scumbag. Loving everything he does.
He looks like when Axl Rose disappeared and came back at around this same era. Yeah, that's what the hair looks like the most. But yeah, you get the little train fighting scene, and
Dr. Karen's in danger. Blade saves her.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. They get away. This is where, like,
loses the hand again.
This is where I think she learns for the first time that, like, she's like, you're a vampire, aren't you? You're one of those. And it's like, what did you think was happening up to this point?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, they told you that.
But he's like, no, I'm something else. And then it's like fade to black, and it's like one of the most just like clear, just like act one is over I've ever seen in a movie. Like, you could fucking just full on put an intermission here, like end of act one into act two.
Yeah, you're right, because I got Donald Logue loses another arm, she gets the backstory.
Right, so this is Blade's origin, basically. This is what we set up, that there's a villain, we've set up Blade's origin, and then boom, we're going into act two very clearly. Say one thing about Goyer, he knows his fucking structure.
Yeah, he certainly does. So now old Deacon Frost is like, I've been putting this, and I've talked about it on this movie before. This is one of those late 90s tropes that I hate.
Okay.
Where he's like, I've got all this software.
That's right.
Quote unquote software.
There's a lot of like images swirling around on a screen.
And I put all this information into the software. And what the software
are doing magic stuff.
Has decided is that I now know this thing with this thing, and it's like a tunnel thing.
It's going to be a blood god.
It's going to build up, and I'm going to be a god.
And Udo Kier's like, I don't think you should do that, and I'm in charge. Don't do that. So then Deacon Frost and all of his half-breed vampire goons are like,
doesn't feel like you're in charge.
We're just going to whoop your ass and take you out to the beach and kill you by sunrise. which is a pretty cool scene because they're all wearing like motorcycle helmets with tinted shades
and sunblock,
so they don't die. It is another thing. Like here, I'm buying it because they're like clothed in head to toe and they're wearing those motorcycle helmets. Yeah. And like, but later on, there's a scene where Deacon like Frost right just shows up to confront Blade in a park during the day, and like he's wearing nothing other than sunblock. And I'm like, all these fucking little cheats you're doing, like where vampires don't have to follow the vampire rules, is fucking ruining vampires. This is the shit that led to like vampires sparkling when they go out in the day in Twilight and shit. Like, stick to the vampire rules. Vampires are cool for a reason. You play by the rules. It makes them better.
Yeah, so they kill him on the beach. Then we go back to Whistler and Blade, and I think Whistler's starting to tell old girl, or
they find out she's like a blood doctor. Yeah. She's like, she knows all sorts of stuff about blood that's going to help us kill the vampires.
And so he walks away for a minute and starts coughing all heavy. And she's like, oh, I'm a
somebody
doctor.
Coughs in a movie. Then, they're going to die, Matt.
You got to die.
There's never been a cough in a movie.
Don't
that
ever
didn't
cough
lead to
in a movie. It's always cancer. The worst.
So yeah.
Not one of those curable cancers either.
She cures herself of the bite by using her blood doctor brain, and then she's like, I've got a cure for vampirism here. It's all about the hemoglobins and shit. Christofferson's like, well, I hated Blade bringing you back here originally, but when it turns out you're some sort of super genius blood expert, it sure is fortuitous that it happened.
This really worked out in our favor. And so then what we're go to next? This is when we get the big park showdown.
Oh, yeah.
Between
yeah.
Deacon Frost.
Deacon Frost shows up. He's baiting Blade. He's got a tiny little Asian girl.
You know who that was?
Who is it, Matt?
I accused my wife of being racist.
Uh-huh.
Turns out she was right.
Ooh.
It was a very young Brenda song.
Brenda, that was going to be my guess. I was like, fucking.
But you didn't
want
to sound
anything,
racist.
I was going to say, probably Brenda song. But yeah, it's this tiny, adorable little girl. Fucking Deacon Frost is using her as like a human shield. But then when he's done with her, he just fucking chucks her like 20 feet and she plows through like a
hot dog
cart.
Stand. That was that's really the only thing I wanted to talk about in this scene.
Next to like when Dracula picks up Phoebe by the throat and says, give me the amulet, you bitch, at the end of Monster Squad.
Yes.
Like, this is one of the coolest, just like brutally fucking with a little girl things I've seen in a movie.
Yeah, it's great. He just throws poor little Brenda Song like 20 feet through a hot dog cart into traffic in downtown New York. It's cool.
Yeah. So we're getting more story here. We're getting more cheating here. So I've already addressed those two things. Those were two of my bullet points. Too much story going on.
Yeah.
Too much cheating of the vampire rules. So this gets us to the end of Act Two, which is Whistler's death.
Yeah.
Where fucking the goons find out where Blade's hideout is. They all show up. Blade's gone because he's getting baited by Deacon Frost. While this is happening, they all go to kill Whistler and fucking
baited. I don't remember seeing no hand jobs.
Well, you didn't watch the unrated one?
Oh no.
Oh yeah, there was Blade cum everywhere.
This is what I've wanted for so long.
For so long.
Oh boy.
So yeah, big dramatic moment. They kidnap Dr. Karen. Fucking Kris Kristofferson decides he likes her, so he tries to save her, but gives up his life. They fucking string him up as a message to Blade, like, here's your dying mentor, Blade. Fuck you.
Even though, literally 2 scenes ago, we revealed he had cancer.
That's right.
But I guess none of that
doesn't
matters now.
Because we're just gonna kill him anyway. He's fucking been bit by a vampire, so he dramatically has to off himself. Blade gives him the option to do it,
Blade's
and he does
like,
it.
I ain't gonna do it. And he's like, then give me the gun, pussy.
This is all just a plan to get Blade to come for them because Deacon Frost magic computers have told him that Blade's blood is the secret to bringing back the blood god.
Boom.
He needs to capture him and get the blood. But I mean,
just
Blade was coming after them anyways, so why not just like, you could have just sent Blade like there was no texting back here in 98, I guess, which is like, send him an email.
Yeah.
What's Blade's, it's probably like blade@yahoo.com. This is early enough, he probably had that fucking address. Yeah. blade@aol.com. Just send him like, hey Blade, here's our fucking hideout, like, come and kill us.
If you think you can.
That's what happens anyways, because the big climax is just Blade coming to kill them all at their hideout.
Yeah.
And they're ready for Blade. We get more fucking, like, you know, sort of John Wick-esque scenes where Blade's mowing through dudes. He's got his guns. He's got his sword. He's got his karate. We're getting a lot of dead vampires here.
Yep.
But so, I've really liked Blade up to this point. a lot of cool shit. I think this third act is where it falls apart for me, Matt.
Okay, all right. I will agree. There's the, yeah, this third part's
once we start
really
talking
bad.
About rituals and we're trying to bring the blood god out and a lot of talk about this, the blood god.
Here's this ancient temple. Well, why are we just now seeing it? Turns out the old guard forgot about it.
Frost has got to get the whole council together.
I'm
and then
just
he
the
uses
first one to remember it.
Blade's blood and their blood or whatever, and it's all going
it's all
through
too
these
convenient.
Stones. And
it's all too
convenient. Too convoluted, too I don't fucking care.
Right.
This should have been that first John Wick movie. This should have been like The Raid, where it's just like, there's a main vampire, there's a series of underling vampires.
Correct.
Blade has to mow through them all to get to the main vampire, and then he fights the boss vampire. Yeah. This is starts off the dumb fucking comic book movie trope thing that's probably because Goyer writes all these scripts.
Yeah.
There's got to be some big swirling what's-its that's going to end the world, and you got to stop the swirling what's-its before the world ends and shit. I don't need every fucking movie to be about the end of the world. I just want good guys and bad guys fighting. Give me action scenes.
When these things start, it can be as simple as, like, this guy's just trying to take over the city. Don't got to be the world yet.
Oh, yeah. I guess glossed over on the way he does finally take Blade out is that he reveals the bitch he's been fucking this whole movie that's been hanging out in his cool, like, ultra-high-tech bank vault coffin is Blade's mom. Bit of convenience here. Like, Frost has been fucking Blade's mom. She's an evil vampire. Blade sees this. He's having more mommy flashbacks.
Yep.
This gives him the opportunity to, like, tase the shit out of him and, like, get him all fucking strung up and captured. Get
he's
a scene
like,
where Blade's mom's, like, fucking with him, and it's real sexual. She's all like, you want to fuck me, don't you, Blade?
Come
he's
on,
all
Blade.
Like, ugh, I super do want to fuck you.
You won't be back inside me. Do it. And whatchamacallit. Yeah, old Deacon Frost is like, hey, you've been looking for the guy that turned your mom into a vampire and killed
turns
her.
Turns out it was me.
You.
I am Joe Chill.
And turns out, also, I needed you. Because you're the chosen one, so like
I didn't know that until the computer told
my own
me.
Destiny, and I don't understand anymore.
Prophecy bullshit.
Everybody's
dumb story.
Still here. Donald Logue's the only thing that's still good right now.
Ooh, is he? He's so obnoxious in this movie, just chewing scenery, being a fucking cunt.
Some of the highlights throughout, because we're just kind of glossing over, because there's a lot of bullshit here. The scene where Deacon Frost wants to, like, prove how powerful he is and all the loyalty.
While
and he's
wearing,
got,
like, a black velvet suit coat that I thought was real stylish and looked cool for a vampire to be wearing.
Oh, hell yeah. He's like, Blade, I got your sword. Look how strong I am. He's like, what's Donald Logue's name?
Quinn.
He's like, Quinn, stick out your hand.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, are you serious? He's like, stick your hand out. He's like, bro, like, I just grew it back. He's like, I'm just messing with you. He's like, yeah, this guy's hilarious. He's messing with me, man.
I also love the scene where they're like gearing up for Blade to come, and like Donald looks like, oh, you don't understand. This guy's crazy. He's just like, he take out 20 guys. He like does the flips, the guns.
Yeah.
He's got the swords.
And he's like, he goes, Quinn, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. He's like, oh, he's got the swords and the flips. Yeah. Shut the fuck up.
That's a great part.
Great little. I would have got like to get more scenes of just like Deacon Frost and Quinn like going back and forth, like him being the annoying yappy dog and
he's
Deacon Frost just like fucking shutting him down.
Amazingly the best by far.
Have you heard a rumor that's been circulating in the wind streams about the reunification of Robert Plant and Jimmy Page performing the music of Led Zeppelin? Woo! Oh yeah! Say hey mama, said the way you move, gonna make you sweat, gonna make you sweat. Unplugged and dangerous, stick your finger in the socket. Whoa, out comes Stairway to Heaven. And she's buying a stairway to heaven.
So yeah, they do more like, we got Blade in this machine that conveniently was already here we conveniently know how to use because we conveniently have software.
All the software translated the ancient texts.
And so they throw him in there and his mom's like, last chance. Like, we could just bone and you could live forever.
Oh, man, it'd be so good.
And she's like,
nope. Just go for it.
Nope,
just
not
go
gonna.
For it, bro.
So they start chopping him up and they're like, we got the blood. The
and
blood's
it happens,
happening.
And it looks terrible. It's like a terrible thing where we get terrible 90s CG where Frost has got the old council members all around and like the machine starts interacting with them, and then their winged skeletons rip out of their bodies, and it just looks like the shoddiest, cheesiest animated computer skeletons you've ever seen. It's so fucking bad. We get corny, like, computer lightning and corny flying
skeletons. The one good part is as the blood's coming down and they're like gearing up and they're getting towards it, Donald Logue yelling, I'm gonna be a god. I'm gonna be a naughty god.
Yeah, so like then it all leads to just like a drip of blood that drips from the center of this machine onto Deacon Frost's head, and then he's like, I'm the blood god now. And it's like, fuck, movie over. Like, he did it.
No, he doesn't realize.
The blood god's going to take over the whole world, just like Deacon Frost wants.
Right at that second, Dr. Karen has come back.
Dr. Karen saves the day.
And she...
she sneaks up on one of the security guards, blows him away with his own shotgun, which makes him disintegrate. So I'm like, do their shotguns have bullets with garlic in them too, like Blades does? If so, why would they be building those? Like, yeah, that's just dangerous for other vampires.
That's not... yeah, you're not...
so then she's
clearly
like, fucking, I'm free. I'm going to let Blade drain my blood because he's all weak because he doesn't have
sexual.
Any serum.
It's
this is
very
just like
sexual.
Blade taking out all his I didn't fuck my mommy frustrations on her. He's just going deep and hard. Like, he drains her shit.
Yeah.
I don't know
he's
why she's not
weird
dead after that.
He's just like, oh.
He drinks all her blood for a long time, Matt.
Oh. And she's like, stop it.
Apparently, he does just enough to make him back into badass Blade and, like, not enough to where she dies.
Yeah, because she's fine. Like,
some more convenient bullshit. Yeah, she's up and running around after fucking him just sucking and sucking. Like, it was like, it was like a dude trying to drink a Wendy's Frosty is what was going on her neck for, like, a good 3 minutes.
I think it's finally melted.
How there's any
get a spoon, asshole.
How there's any blood left in there.
Get a spoon. So he heads on downstairs to kill some people.
First thing he does is just cut off Donald Logue's head with like a little jack move where he's got like some piano wire.
Yeah.
And he's just beheaded and he's done. It's like, finally. Quinn bit the dust.
He made
after all that punishment he took throughout the movie. MVP of the movie, old Donald Logue.
The best guy.
And there's another cool part where when he's fighting these dudes, he rips one guy's throat out and then he throws it at the next guy's eyes as a distraction.
Oh, yeah.
Rip a guy's throat out. That's like,
about
he out Patrick Swayze'd Patrick Swayze. He ripped out a throat and then he threw the throat at a guy.
And also when he rips the dude's throat out, it left a really cool like fingers
imprint. Yeah. It was a good, like some good gore makeup there, it looked like.
Yeah, I like that part. So then he's got everybody dead except
Deacon Frost, who's now the blood god.
Yeah.
And we get some more corny CG animation where he's cutting off Frost's limbs, and then he's made out of blood now, and they just immediately slop back together because he can go from blood to flesh to blood.
I'm like the T-1000
cartoony
now.
And dumb. And then we get a dumb Deus Ex Machina ending where the cure for vampirism little capsule things that Dr. Karen made. Blade's got him in a bandolero and he just throws them all at the fucking blood god. And it's just like, oh, it's such a good cure that it even kills the blood god.
But that was the last of them.
He explodes.
He's
all the
dead.
Hemoglobin, what's its... Frost does take one in the dick, like before. He throws like most of them at him. One of them takes him in the dick and he's just like, oh, brah, this hurt me.
My blood dick.
He saves one more and he throws it up in the air and does like a cool fucking spin kick to rocket it across the room into fucking Deacon Frost's forehead. Gets him right between the eyes. Headshot.
At least he does cool stuff.
And he blows up into like a big globule blood thing, which would have been cool if like they would have made it, but they didn't. They animated it at all. And this is 1998, so it all looks fucking terrible.
Just
everything
terrible
happening at the end of this movie. Looks just fucking awful.
Yeah. Looks worse than a Gushers commercial.
Mm-hmm.
When like the kids' heads would get big and explode with juice.
Yeah, that did. It looked almost exactly like that. It looked like a fucking Gushers commercial.
That's a shame.
Blade's pretty much over. Old girl's like, I'm Dr. Karen. Me, you, and Blade are going to be in love forever, aren't we? And he's just like, make me a better serum and then get the fuck out of here. My life's fucking killing vampires.
Yeah. I ain't got time for trim. I got time for vampires.
And we get a nice little denouement where he's in fucking Russia and it's all snowy and cold. And it's like the beginning where there's a vampire leading a human into a vampire rave. But then Blade shows up and he's like, I'm going to fuck up more vampires. Then it's like, credits, Blade's done.
Or is it?
It turns out, no, they made 2 more Blade movies.
And a series on Spike.
I'm pretty sure, I don't remember the sequels well because I hate them, but I'm pretty sure they find a cheap ass way to bring Whistler back for the sequels, and it's just like,
do they?
Totally negates his death, and it's like, oh, that's fucking lame.
It's gotta be like the Blade third sequels. One.
No, I think right in the second one,
really?
Fucking Whistler's back, which I get it because he's the coolest character, but then don't dramatically kill him in the biggest moment of the first movie, you dumb idiots.
Which one has Ryan Reynolds and Triple H?
That's the third one. I think the second one might be the one that has like the pussy vampires where their heads turn into giant pussies.
That's a weird thing.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. We're not talking about those movies, though.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about the original Blade. After these coming attractions, see what else is coming on the rest of this October in our Blood, Bullets, and Baphomets action, an
blood
action massacre.
Bullets and Bath...
we'll come back.
Bath bombs?
That's right.
And is that what you said?
Blade will be in Judgment Day, Matt.
Ooh.
Officer Cordell is dead. People are safe to walk the streets again. Or are they?
Must be visiting hours, because my friend is back!
The nightmare has returned.
Who's the great big cop? 6'3", maybe more.
Shooting Cordell's only good for getting his attention.
Teresa Mallory's dead because she knew the truth.
What's the matter, Commissioner? You finally believe in ghosts?
He's still alive.
Maniac Cop 2. Robert Davi, License to Kill. Claudia Christian, The Hidden. Michael Lerner, The Postman Always Rings Twice. Bruce Campbell, The Evil Dead. And Leo Rossi, The Accused. Star in Maniac Cop 2.
They come from another time. A machine wrapped in flesh. A soldier from a distant war. Both after a woman who holds the key to the future. One wants to kill her. The other must protect her.
I'm here to help you. You've been targeted for termination.
The Terminator. Your future is in his hands. The Terminator. Rated R. The number one movie in the USA is now playing everywhere.
What a fool who believes.
You a Michael McDonald fan?
You know, I haven't gone deep into the catalog, yeah. But I love all the hits. You give me like a greatest hits album of his, I guarantee I'm fucking loving every single thing on that.
I used to hate his guts, but...
You probably were a foolish young child, and now that your tastes have matured,
yeah.
You're like old man age. It's a perfect ripe age to like that shit.
All that shit.
I think, like, for some reason, he used to constantly be, like, one of the things they'd have playing on TVs at, like, Circuit Cities and something. Like, I have a weird memory. Like, it was always just, like, a concert video of his on, like, every single TV.
Well, they
just,
do
like,
the...
Why do they always use fucking Michael McDonald concerts?
And they do the joke about it in the Virgin.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Okay, that's why it's fucking stuck in my head then.
The Paul Rudd, if I gotta hear Yamo be there one more time, Yamo blow my brains out.
That was
out.
A fucking just like...
But that was like a real thing.
Spot on observation, yeah, because I remember they used to play Michael McDonald on all the Circuit City TVs. And
if you went into the silo...
No wonder they're all Spirit Halloweens now.
Did you guys have silos out here?
I don't think I've ever been in a silo. Is that out of business?
Oh, yeah.
I saw the Sears is going out of business. The local Sears? Ooh,
yeah,
that's an institution.
That's true.
Where are we going to get all our appliances at, Matt?
Where can I get Lee Wranglers and Dickies?
I know. The world is changing.
I don't want to live in this world.
No, me either.
This isn't for me.
Suicide pact? Murder suey?
I was just thinking, like, create our own world.
Oh.
Like, underground, like, Demolition Man.
It's a little bit lamer than what I said, but we could do that too, sure.
Taco Bell's made out of rat.
I'll raid a fucking Taco Bell dressed up like some sort of Mad Max insane person.
But all right, I'm down with that plan.
Judgment Day is where...
That's where we'll be. Judgment Day.
We throw a fucking, you know, the movie we're talking about into the Thunderdome, and then it's got to survive. It's, you know, it's got to triumph or it's got to fail. We're going to look at what the internet thinks about the movie. We're going to let you guys out there judge it, and then we're going to judge it ourselves, and then we'll see if, once and for all, is this, how good is this movie? It's dead accurate.
I bet there's some high
praise. Once we go through all this, it's dead accurate.
Internet douchebaggery.
You know what? I didn't even need to find any of that, because the very first review I found for it is what I used. You're going to be very happy.
Oh,
I got 2 1-bullet reviews here, and then I got a very special 5-bullet review that's going to be take center stage. You're going to enjoy it.
Oh, God.
This first 1-bullet review is from Amazon user Ash Williams. He says...
Ashley J. Williams?
Part human, part vampire hybrid becomes a vampire hunter. Can you say every other vampire movie ever made? But wait, here's the twist. The lead character is black. Sadly, that is the only original thing in this movie.
It's really weird so far, but go ahead.
I believe that if A Clockwork Orange were to be rewritten today, instead of going into detail about the violence in the films Alex was forced to watch, they would simply say, the man in white coats lifted his eyebrows and made him watch Blade. Oh, I forgot. You probably haven't read a book that doesn't have pictures, because the people who enjoyed Blade are the same people who think The Rock can act. 1-bullet review. From a very hot out the gate.
This is really
Ash
weird.
Ash Williams.
Is there a date on that?
These ones were, I was going way back to like 99, 2000.
Ooh,
yeah,
wow, so this is like freshly viewed.
It's just like some weird racist stuff in there.
Yeah.
Some weird Clockwork Orange metaphor. Like,
I hate violent films, but like Clockwork Orange I like.
This next one is doing one of those things that you love, where they just bring up a completely random other movie for no reason out of nowhere.
You know I'm a fan.
A 1-bullet review.
Can't wait to see.
From Amazon user Etepet.
And that's why I hate Throw Mama from the Train. Oh, also Blade 1-star.
Probably the worst movie it has been my displeasure to watch. Full of disbelief, I put the DVD player on fast forward after only 5 minutes of this utter garbage of a film. Not since the awful and noisy start of Romeo and Juliet 1996 had I questioned the sanity of the director and the audience that could endure this.
Nice.
I'm glad to see I didn't watch Blade in the cinema, as I had Romeo and Juliet then.
Yes.
So I could quickly scan if any of the movie was watchable and return it damn pronto to the video store. Once again, I was back in like 1999, 2000.
Also, who was returning movies like, store. Get this out of here, refund me.
One thing I know for sure, anyone who likes this is fully incompatible with me. So far, this is the only movie that I have ever given a 1 out of 10.
Except for Romeo and Juliet.
1-bullet from Amazon user Etepets.
I like that that person went out of their way to badmouth Romeo and Juliet twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then they still were like, no, this is worse than Blade, because this is the only movie I'm giving 1-bullet. So Romeo and Juliet got at least 2.
Which I gotta agree with. Fuck Baz Luhrmann movies.
Yes.
This next 5-bullet review, there's only one this week because it's really long. And you're going to enjoy to hear that it's from a Baby Oil and Blow fucking alumni, friend of the show, Ivo Cobra 8, who also reviewed Hard Target for us.
Oh, man. I thought this was going to be from Tom Rock, but go ahead.
No, it's Ivo Cobra 8. Strap in, everybody. This is as epic as his Hard Target review.
I'm drinking, pal.
Blade 1998 is the best action horror vampire slaying movie ever made. I always have enjoyed watching Blade. My number one favorite Blade film, I love this film to death. It is one of the best action sci-fi films of all time. Wesley Snipes' best role till its days ever.
Yep.
No one can play Blade like Wesley Snipes did. Blade is not an origin story, but it is a real world of darkness.
Yep.
Blade is just so bad an anti-hero, which is perfect for the world he drives in.
I will watch it with my family.
It is my favorite comic book vampire movie. I love this film. I love the action, and I love everything in it. I love Wesley Snipes and Kris Kristofferson so much. They have such a chemistry between each other.
Mm-hmm.
Wesley Snipes kicks ass. This is most superhero vampire slayer film ever made.
Wesley
it's been
Snipes.
So long since I last watched this film. I kept watching it 11 years ago in 2004 when Blade Trinity was been released. I kept watching Blade 1 and 2 on my CD, on my computer, and on VHS tape that I had this film. Blade of Trilogy was the only film I owned on VHS. I did not own Blade 2 or Blade Trinity at that time.
No.
But I have now the whole trilogy on Blu-ray.
So confusing.
The best dang vampire slaying movie ever. Say that five times fast. That's his commentary, not mine.
His or hers, we don't know.
It's funny, too. It shows him killing a bunch of vampires, but then regular people are thinking that he is killing humans. I watched this film as a child, and all the blood in it and the violence made me crunch. I grew up with this film 11 years ago, constantly watching this film over and over, till its days it is my favorite best vampire flick. Blood and the crunch in this movie is awesome. Just awesome.
11 years ago?
So in this movie, Blade is a half-human, half-vampire hybrid. He protects the human race from other vampires. In this movie, he has to stop Deacon Frost, Stephen Dorff. Mm-hmm. Deacon Frost wants to resurrect the blood god Lamagra, and he needs Blade's blood, and he needs 12 volunteers so he can walk in the sunlight and declares extinction to human race. Blade is humanity's last hope. Wesley Snipes plays a half-mortal, half-immortal, charged with ridding the Earth of a race of vampires led by Stephen Dorff in this action-packed blockbuster.
Wesley Snipes.
This movie right here, oh my god, is this movie awesome? Watching this as a kid, you really don't know much other than Wesley Snipes is a badass.
There it is.
But now when you are older, you can really know how much of a badass Blade really was.
Now tell me what the
movie
is
about. And he does making a point. Wesley Snipes is awesome. Yes, awesome. So yeah, Wesley Snipes does a good job in this movie. Everyone does a great job in this movie so far. Even Donald Logue as Quinn with a long hair and beard. I did a wonderful job. Stephen Dorff is actually pretty good. I haven't really seen much of Stephen Dorff's work yet. I'm pretty sure he's not even around today.
I am
not sure what happened today. I am not sure if he just dropped off the map or if he just quit acting altogether. But yeah, you would never guess this was Marvel movie because Marvel's name was nowhere near this property so far. So that was kind of odd to see this choice, but we all know who he is anyways, so that become kind of cool. And yeah, violence, blood, the gore, amazingly awesome. Yeah, I brought the word amazingly back. It is crazy, over the top, sword fights, knives throwing.
It's good of them to do that.
All this wrapped in the one, and you get that final fight between him and Deacon. Dang, that is good time. That is good, awesome times, you know? And it is just nothing like that right now, and I'm hoping that we get another sequel to Blade Trinity. The actress Arlie Jover, who played Mercury, Deacon Frost's girlfriend, was so sexy and hot, and she is so awesome with her hair and her changing her hairstyles. For 11 years, I was confused with the thought that Deacon's girlfriend was played by Tracy Lords because she is blonde. It took me so long to figure it out that it was Arlie Jover played Deacon's girlfriend and not Tracy Lords.
Oh. I did not hit her.
What I like about the character Blade are his gadgets, the sharp ones in particular, and his outfit and style. Bottom of line, it is my favorite best film. Still, I think Blade 2 is a little bit better than Blade, but I still love the trilogy. Movies like this don't exist today. The rating I give to Blade is 10 out of 10.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Five bullets from IMDb user Ivo Cobra 8, who I've now got bookmarked just in case we need him coming. Whew. Forward here.
That was right up there with the hard target. Except, you know, there was no mention of the family watching it like there was about Hard Target.
That's true, yeah. Like,
Hard Target was a family
thing. Who are you watching it with on CD on the computer? Who are you watching it with on VHS?
Or both.
I do like to know which format he has, which movies of the trilogy on them. That was all very useful.
It's good backstory.
Matt, let's get into your final thoughts and your bullet rating for Blade.
For the Blade. Starts off with a bang, literally.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite opening scenes.
It really is good. You've said the bloodbath thing. You've brought up the bloodbath for years.
Bloodbath.
I can't
cool.
even speak now because of that fucking thing you just read.
It is like living through a stroke reading.
It really is. It really is. Listening, reading, any of it. So it was great to get the bloodbath right out the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Snipes was serviceable here. Some of it was weird. His acting, I guess, and like why, just his character and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Just why?
Because he's Blade. He's the Daywalker.
Basically,
did you get that he's the Daywalker?
Yeah, that must have slipped my mind.
He needs serum.
Chris Christopherson, Donald Logue, they get a pass. Those are the only ones I have zero complaints
about.
Love
those guys.
They did the best.
Love those guys.
Dr. Karen's terrible.
Oh, man.
There's no point in her being in the movie.
She's pretty sexy, though. I liked her being around.
Stephen Dorff.
got her top off when she was getting some of her treatments or whatever at some point.
That's true.
I would have appreciated that.
Steven Dorff's character is just the embodiment of everything everyone hates about the 90s.
He's a River North douchebag.
He certainly is. The action's good. The gore's good. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of holes in this movie.
Yeah, in people's necks.
Man, I gotta go. I gotta go two bullets.
Two bullets for Blade.
I was gonna say 2.5. Okay,
that's,
you know, like it just is.
That's crazy.
But there's some definite holes in this thing. There's some bad acting in this thing, and it's 2 hours long, man. Started the whole superhero movies just being fucking long. You shave this down to like 90 minutes, get rid of the love interest, change the ending, and it's a fucking four banger all day.
I'm agreeing with all that. Get into my thoughts here. 2 hours is too long. Get it down to 1 hour and 40. You could do it by cutting out all the stupid blood god shit, all the stupid Council of Immortal Vampires shit. Just Blade fucking killing Euro trash up until he gets... If you want to do some sort of thing where like Deacon Frost trying to get his hands on something that's going to make him more powerful so that the final fight's better, like, fine, but
all the amulet
blood god mythology, no thank you. The third act and all the CG and all the blood god falls off a rail, but I love those first two acts. I love all the action, the world building of the first one. I love the build up to Whistler's death in the second. Every fucking, there's personality and just like cool design shit in every scene. I think Wesley Snipes is a fucking badass. Old Man Whistler's awesome. Donald Logue's everything. I think overall, this is a middle-of-the-road movie. Three bullet, but all the things I like in it. The great opening scene, the fucking Donald Logue, Kris Kristofferson, bump it up a notch for me to where it's not quite a good movie, but it's better than middle-of-the-road. I think it's a 3.5 fucking bullet movie.
Wow.
I'm a fan of Blade, big time.
You're bloodbath drunk, pal.
No way.
I think so.
Been enjoying Blade since 1998. I'll go to my grave enjoying Blade.
I've been...
Fuck those sequels, though.
Not huge fan in it since 2019.
That's a hard road you're living on. Clean your life up.
Can't do it.
Wouldn't
not
gonna
be prudent.
Do it. Not gonna
not
do,
gonna
it.
Do it.
We got two more fucking weeks left in the month of October. Despite the internet trying to call it spooky season, we're gonna keep celebrating. We're gonna keep enjoying all this weird horse shit. Not horse shit, horror shit.
Yeah,
next week we're watching
shit.
Maniac Cop 2, one of the craziest fucking films ever filmed.
Yeah.
Robert Zadar, a fucking rapping theme song, Maniac Cop 2, get fucking ready.
Oh.
And then the week after that, Halloween week, we've got the 35th anniversary of the fucking Terminator, Matt. That's right.
Nothing beats that
That's
shit.
That's right. Big times.
Hey, you haven't
big
given,
things popping off.
You haven't given out any picks yet for Rocktober.
Oh.
Or is that a separate podcast that you're doing with Tom Rock?
We're doing a Jocktober where we're doing all our fantasy football picks. Like,
yes. Yeah, nice.
Look out for that podcast.
Make sure you follow Nate's Twitter for that, and he's going to tell you who to bench and who to play this week.
That's right.
Got some big matchups.
Don't do that. That's not going to be happening.
No?
On the real, check out our Instagram, though. Instagram's the only thing I look at.
Do that.
Hit us up on Instagram.
Yeah, we've just quit everything else.
Give
it's
us
Instagram
a review of the thing we're watching. We'll read out your words or whatever.
It's just baby oil and blow on the Instagram.
Just look
That's
it up.
It.
It's fun.
You don't know how to get there? Ask your young cousin.
Check out Maniac Cop 2. Come back next week.
We'll all...
Yeah, you're going to enjoy it. It's going to be good for you.
We'll all fought together on the baby oil and the blow. Stay single.
It's a long road when you're on your own. And it hurts when they tear your dreams apart.